Welcome. You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast, the show that cuts through the fog of war and updates you about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
Hello, I'm Marina Yevshan, co-host of the Russia-Ukraine War Report Podcast, and today is March the 6th, 2024. It has been 3,691 days since Russia started covert military operations in Crimea, 10 years and 15 days since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war, and 2 years and 12 days since Russia expanded its war of aggression. Today's podcast looks at events that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. During the podcast, you will find the Russia-Ukraine war map helpful to visualize the areas discussed. A link is in the podcast description. There are minor updates today. The Russia-Ukraine war report is compiled by our team from around the world. Today's report includes information from our direct contacts and journalists in Ukraine, the Russian Ministry of Defense, the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine Morning Reports, Operational Commands North, South and East of Ukraine, Open Source Intelligence, our in-house team of analysts and geospatial experts, and pro-Ukrainian and pro-Russian male bloggers and social media channels with a track record of trying to be accurate. We have one mission, the truth, because the truth matters. Let's start with the daily assessment. 1. We maintain that Ukraine's acute shortage of ammunition and air defense missiles will become catastrophic by April. However, there are indications that the supply of artillery shells has stabilized. 2. We assess that while Russia holds the initiative throughout the theater of war, the ability to sustain intense combat operations in more than 3 areas of operation has culminated. 3. Additionally, while it is premature to assess that Ukraine has stabilized defensive lines, Russian advances have been significantly slowed over the last 7 to 10 days. 4. We assess that Ukraine has established strategic control of the western and central Black Sea after sinking or severely damaging 8 Russian warships in the last 8 months. 5. The United States has ended financial and military aid to Ukraine unless there is an unforeseen event that changes congressional leadership before the 2024 elections. 6. Due to necessity, Ukraine has shifted to a Fabian strategy to wear down Russian combat power while conserving resources. 7. The Kremlin is preparing to complete the transformation of the governmental structure into a dictatorship, culminating after the results of the sham presidential elections are released. 8. While the possibility of an intentional nuclear accident caused by Russian occupiers at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant remains low, the condition is more serious than what the International Atomic Energy Agency is reporting. 9. Russian-aligned assets have co-opted the ongoing Polish border blockade, which has become an open act of hybrid warfare against Ukraine and the Baltic states. We begin today's war report in the Donbas, starting in northeast Donetsk Oblast. In the Bakhmut.io, Russian mercenary male blogger Wagonzo reported that fighting continued in the area of Bogdanivka with no change to the situation. Fighting also continued in Ivanivske, where the situation remains difficult for Ukrainian forces. In the Klishivka.io, intense positional fighting continued north and east of Klishivka. The General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine reported a Russian attack in the direction of Bila Gora, west of the Siversky-Donets-Donbas Canal, was repulsed. In our assessment, this was a squad or platoon-sized Russian reconnaissance and sabotage unit, and not a significant breach of Ukrainian defensive lines. In the Toretsk-New York.io, Russian sources reported fighting in the area of Shumy and the northwestern edge of occupied Horlivka. 22 months after its introduction to the battlefield, Russia destroyed an M142 guided multiple launch rocket system, better known as HIMARS. The geolocated video showed the M142 was near the village of Nikanorivka, 51 kilometers from the line of conflict. The Russian-sourced video clearly showed ammunition cooking off, confirming it was not a decoy. We'll link to the video in our daily situation report, and there is more information on how you can become a subscriber in the podcast description. In southwest Donetsk Oblast, for the fourth day in a row, Russian forces have not made notable gains in the Avdiivka AO. After weeks of detailed reports where I told you about fighting for houses, hills and streets, today's podcast may create an artificial picture of relative calm. 75% of the 76 ground attacks Russia initiated on March 5th were from Avdiivka to Novomikhailivka. A small increase in Ukrainian artillery support, fair weather, unfavorable terrain for Russian advances, a noticeable reduction in the number of Russian airstrikes, and the interdiction of Russian personnel and material have improved the situation for Ukrainian forces. West of Avdiivka, fighting continued on the eastern edge of Berdychi, east of Semenivka, in the eastern part of Orlivka, and on the eastern edge of Tonenke, with no Russian advances noted. A third M1A1 Abrams main battle tank was disabled on the eastern edge of Berdychi after being hit by three anti-tank guided missiles. While the ammunition crisis for Ukraine appears to have stabilized, artillery units remain on a starvation diet. Ukrainian commanders are compensating for this by taking more risks with tanks, increasing losses. Russian sources made the same complaint about the electronic warfare systems I told you about yesterday in the Zaporizhia update. A Russian military instructor fighting near Berdychi reported that only 30% of drones reach the line of conflict, with the rest knocked out by Russian EW systems. Quote, "The guys are screaming, swearing, but they can't do anything. And our birds continue to fall on takeoff when the boys on assault need fire support like air." Unquote. The problem is the Russian EW systems to jam Ukrainian drones are also jamming Russian drones. If the systems are turned on, the Russian drones fall out of the sky while most Ukrainian drones still work. If they turn the system off, then all the Ukrainian drones work, while Ukrainian EW jams some of the Russian drones. Further south, Russian attempts to advance deeper into the eastern part of Pervomayske and toward the Ukrainian firebase at Nevelske continued without success. "We are making a change to the areas of operations and combining the Marienka AO with the Vuhledar AO. This has been done because the ongoing fighting west of Marienka is connected to the Russian strategic goal of capturing Vuhledar. In the Vuhledar AO, Russian forces continued their attacks south and east of Krasnohorivka with no change in the situation. Heavy fighting also continued east of Georgievka and on the edges of Pobeda. Russian forces made incremental gains in the center part of Novomikhailivka. On the southern edge, a Russian armored column was destroyed before reaching the settlement, including a 57-year-old T-54 medium-duty tank with added ERA blocks, that's explosive reactive armor. "We did adjust the war map in eastern Novomikhailivka, with Russian forces controlling 35-45% of the settlement." In the Staromlinivka AO, Russian forces continued attempts to advance north of Novomayorske without success. In the Kherson AO, Ukrainian forces repulsed two attacks on Krynka. A Russian medic released a video reporting that there are significant casualties, with soldiers, quote, "suddenly getting such wounds they are not supposed to get." He stated that Russian troops are under constant attack by drones, mortars and artillery, while Russian counter-battery fire falls short, quote, "as if there is a spell of sort." Moving to assessment. There have been widespread reports by Russian units that North Korean-provided munitions and powder charges are low quality, with a failure rate of 3-6%. Additionally, in the fall of 2023, Russian units were also forced to use improvised mortar launchers built from irrigation piping. I've got a lot more information about the sinking of the Sergei Kotov in the Black Sea. The main Directorate of Intelligence for the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense released a video showing the attack that sunk the Project 22-160 patrol ship. We linked to it in the situation report. The Kotov was hit five times by five Magura Mark 5C Baby and crew surface vessels, one on the stern and twice amidships on the port and starboard sides, near the Kerch Strait. At 0:48 hours local time, the warship issued an SOS, and at 1:32 hours, two Russian Navy tugboats arrived. 55 crew members were evacuated, with 10 staying on board to support a tow operation. Less than 20 minutes later, the Kotov sunk near Cape Tequil. It is reported that the onboard helicopter was a Ka-29TB, a Soviet-era assault variant of the Ka-27. Russian and Ukrainian sources agree that 6 crew members were wounded, with Ukrainian sources reporting an additional 7 were killed. Despite the ideal conditions of light seas, the illumination of nearby vessels, and modern armaments, the Kotov could not repulse the swarm attack of USVs. In our assessment, Ukraine has established uncontested strategic control of the Western and Central Black Sea and the coastal waters of occupied Crimea, despite not having a navy. This is the 3rd ship sunk using a swarm attack, targeting the stern for a mobility kill, and then repeated strikes amidships to sink the vessel. The Minister of Defense of the United Kingdom, Grant Shapps, said, quote, "The Black Sea has ceased to be safe for the Russian fleet, although it was unimaginable before. If the Western partners give the Ukrainian army everything it needs, it will be able to achieve victory." Unquote. Polish farmers continue to interfere at the main border crossing between Poland and Lithuania, self-inspecting trucks and questioning Polish border guards. The head of the Lithuanian Association of Grain Growers, Aušris Macijauskas, said the biggest problem facing the Baltic states, Poland and the EU isn't Ukrainian grain, but Russian. Quote, "Over 3 million metric tons of Russian grain passed through Latvia and Lithuania combined in 2023. In total, 12 million metric tons of Russian grain were imported into the EU market." Unquote. During the same time period, only 50,000 metric tons of Ukrainian grain was imported into Lithuania, far below pre-war levels. Macijauskas accused Russia of product dumping to create chaos among European farmers, who were already struggling financially.
You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. Our team of journalists, researchers, and analysts is funded by readers, listeners, and viewers just like you. To support independent journalism, please consider becoming a patron. You can find us on patreon.com at Malcontent News.
Here is my theater-wide update. Russia launched another 42 Iranian-sourced Shahed 136 one-way drones at Ukraine, with 38 shot down. Since March 1, Russia has used 68 Sheheds. In February, Ukraine used 309 long-range drones to attack Russia, mostly in the Belgorod region. Ukrainian officials said that the number of larger strike drones produced will continue to increase through 2024. Russia released a short video showing the production of Shahed 136 one-way drones, and we link to it. While the video showed dozens of completed fuselages awaiting the installation of engines, electronics, and warheads, the video does not reveal actual production capacity. There are no dependencies on foreign parts to make fuselages. The larger issue is sourcing Western electronics for final assembly, which continues to create bottlenecks. The Minister of Defense of Germany, Boris Pistorius, confirmed earlier reports that Russia was able to access a WebEx meeting discussing the use of Taurus cruise missiles in Ukraine because an attendee used an unsecured line. Calling the leak a, quote, "private error," Pistorius said a participant in Singapore used an open connection to attend the virtual meeting. According to German media, Brigadier General Frank Graefe was in Singapore on Friday the 19th, attending an air show. Retired United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel David Slater was arrested on March 2 for conspiracy to disclose national defense information and unauthorized disclosure of national defense information, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Slater was working as a civilian employee for the U.S. Strategic Command at Offutt Air Force Base just outside Omaha, Nebraska, and held a top-secret clearance. In 2022, he started a parasocial relationship on an international dating website with a woman who claimed to be from Ukraine. In March and April of 2022, he released classified information on Russian and Ukrainian military capabilities to the person who called him their, quote, secret informant love. The amount of damage caused by the intelligence leak is unknown. And it isn't clear if Slater left his role at Offutt due to the security leaks or for other reasons. He faces up to 10 years in prison. France invited NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, the head of the EU's Foreign Affairs Department Josep Borrell, and the Ministers of Foreign Affairs to join a virtual meeting on March the 7th to discuss, quote, concrete proposals to boost support for Kyiv. President Emmanuel Macron is emerging as a leading voice in arming Ukraine better and calling out the sluggish response to the Russian threat. Quote, "The time is coming in Europe when we should no longer be afraid. We do not want to see the tragedies that are coming. The war has returned to our land. States that have become aggressive are threatening to attack us more and more every day." Unquote. Additionally, France joined the Czech Republic's initiative to purchase 800,000 artillery shells for Ukraine, with Macron saying, quote, "We need to go beyond what we can produce," while calling on Ukraine's allies to leap away from the, quote, "spirit of defeat that rages." The Pentagon called on U.S. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson to move the Senate bill that will provide military aid to Ukraine forward. Johnson has reportedly killed the bill and is working with moderate members of both parties to create a new version that would provide as little as $10 billion in assistance. We updated the table for Ukraine versus Russia equipment losses through March the 5th, using information provided by the Oryx database. The update includes the sinking of the Sergei Kotov and losses suffered during the Prigozhin insurrection of June the 23rd and the 24th, 2023. Time for another visit to the land of Mobix, mobilization and Mir. The General Director of Russian state-controlled corporation Rostec, Sergei Chemezov, said that the T-14 Armada main battle tank won't be deployed in Ukraine because it's too expensive. The cost of one T-14 was estimated to be $5 million, and in 2015, Moscow intended to build 2,230 of the self-declared wonder weapon. While the claim that the tank is too expensive is accurate, it's only half the story. The T-14 failed to enter large-scale serial production, with less than 30 built. The tank has been plagued with technical problems, including its turbine engine transmission and main gun stabilization. At least one T-14 broke down in the 2020 and 2022 Moscow Victory Day parades. Russian Christian nationalists were furious after a Chelyabinsk court sentenced MMA fighter Rustam Bajumenov to 1.5 years probation for killing private military company Wagner Group mercenary Maxim Nikitin in a bar fight. Nikitin is no relation to the co-founder of the Freedom of Russia Legion. Bajumenov was harassing Nikitin's girlfriend, which led to a confrontation. Nikitin was throat-punched, collapsing his larynx, and asphyxiated. Bajumenov was originally charged with causing death by negligence, but after public outcry, he was charged with causing grievous bodily harm resulting in death. The Russian court quietly downgraded Bajumenov's charges right before his trial. Nikitin fought in Chechnya on behalf of Russia, then in Ukraine and the Central African Republic with PMC Wagner, before becoming an officer in the Ministry of Internal Affairs. Part of the fury falls along racial lines, with Bajumenov from the North Caucasus. "We can't repeat some of the things being said and written without violating our agreement with Spotify." The War Crimes and Human Rights section of the Russia-Ukraine War Report sometimes covers disturbing topics of human rights abuses, gender-based violence, human suffering, and atrocities. Some listeners may find the content disturbing. Today's report does not contain graphic details. The International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Russian Lieutenant General Sergei Kabulash and Admiral Viktor Sokolov for leading the Russian campaign to destroy Ukraine's energy infrastructure, civilian infrastructure, and civilians from October 10, 2022 to March 9, 2023. Kobylash was the commander of Russia's long-range aviation, and Sokolov commanded the Black Sea Fleet. The court determined that the two are responsible for, quote, knowingly and repeatedly agreeing to and organizing attacks on the civilian population and civilian objects of Ukraine, violating numerous norms of international law. They join Russian President Vladimir Putin and Children's Commissioner Maria Львова-Белова. The two Russian leaders have international warrants for their arrest to face war crimes charges related to the abduction and cultural genocide of up to 700,000 Ukrainian children. The head of the National Agency on Corruption Prevention of Ukraine, Vasily Lutsik, said that since February 24, 2022, 1,759 Ukrainian children have become orphans. Another 697 are considered deprived of paternal care because their guardians are in the occupied territories, including 12 sets of parents illegally kept in captivity. Russia is accused of 1,068 violations of the Chemical Weapons Convention, mostly for using CS gas, more commonly known as tear gas. In February, there were 250 documented cases, including 244 users of the K-51 aerosol grenade. In a since-deleted post on Telegram, the Russian 810th Naval Infantry admitted to using CS in Krynke. They followed up on the deleted post, writing, quote, "The Western media are spreading hysteria that we allegedly started using chemical weapons against the armed forces. So I want to answer these people that we use against the Nazis," quick sidebar, a term used by Russia to justify their war of aggression that had been widely dismissed as propaganda even by Tucker Carlson. "What they use when dispersing peaceful demonstrations," unquote. It is true that many nations use CS gas against civilians for crowd control, but it does not change the fact that its battlefield use is considered a war crime, and the Chemical Weapons Convention bans it. Additionally, the excuse from the 810th aged like room temperature milk. On January 19, 2024, Russian security forces used tear gas on peaceful civilian protesters in the Republic of Bashkortostan and arrested hundreds in the following week. But wait, there's more. After admitting to war crimes and then doubling down, the 810th tripled down with this closing, quote, "As Sergei Lavrov says, morons, f*** them. I'm going to make a bold prediction. This won't play well at the International Criminal Court." The Commissioner for Human Rights in the Russian Federation, Tatyana Moskalkova, claims that Russia is ready to transfer the bodies of the alleged victims of the Il-76 crash near Belgorod. Russia has still not presented any evidence to prove anyone beyond the flight crew was killed and never named the three Russian guards allegedly on the aircraft. The United Nations monitoring mission has documented systematic human rights violations in Crimea since 2014. Violations include forced passportization, the destruction of the Crimean Tatar and Ukrainian language, and forcing laws on the local population. The report said, quote, "These facts demonstrate the devastating impact of Russian occupation on human rights and threaten further violations of rights in other Russian-occupied regions of Ukraine." Unquote. In occupied Melitopol, Russian soldiers executed a Ukrainian living under occupation. On March 3, the body of a 38-year-old man was found lying in the road. Russian officials have reportedly arrested three penal soldiers, a deputy platoon commander, 35-year-old Yuri Markovkin, 35-year-old Ramil Shambaev, and 48-year-old Alexander Mikhailovsky, and are investigating the shooting. We don't end the podcast on war crimes and human rights, so here is some geopolitical and economic news. Estonia, France and Poland made a joint statement saying Europe has an urgent need to increase its defense capabilities. The news agency The Guardian reported on a draft copy which said in part, quote, "We must ensure that the ambitions of the strategy are proportionate and backed by concrete actions that support our fighting capacity. We are in a race against time." The president of Hungary, Tamás Sulyok, signed the ratification of Sweden's accession into NATO, completing the process that started in June 2022. The European Commission confirmed that it is preparing to present a negotiating framework for Ukraine's accession to the economic bloc this month, reversing an early decision to wait until after the June elections. Kyiv expects to receive the framework for negotiations by March the 12th. In economic news, the EU has proposed to modify the transport visa-free policy with Ukraine and Moldova in an attempt to end protests by farmers and truckers in Poland and other nations. The proposed changes would enable individual EU countries to introduce their own restrictions and strengthen documentation control and compliance of cargo and motor carriers. Ukraine has been exporting record amounts of electricity to the EU due to improving generation capacity. On March the 5th, Ukraine set a record of transferring 13.39 gigawatts of power to Slovakia, Hungary, Poland, Romania, and Moldova. We're not aware of anyone traveling back in time. Ukrainian officials said that, in principle, a new contract with Russia would not be signed for natural gas transit destined for use by Ukraine. A decision has not been made to extend the contract, which expires on January 1, 2025, for the transit of gas through Ukraine to Europe. Those negotiations may be moot, with the European Commissioner for Energy, Kadri Simson, ruling out new negotiations with Russia for natural gas delivery. And that's what we know. Your support of my home, Ukraine, helps us make history and protect the future for all.
You've been listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. To help keep us independent, please consider providing financial support by becoming a patron. Want on-demand news in your hand? Download the Google News app and make Malcontent News one of your favorites to receive breaking news updates. Thank you for listening,